Our series, and today is called The Warrior's Cause. Our series I'm wanting to devote to and aim at us men. I want us men to realize and understand how we're created. We are created with a warrior's spirit. We're created with a warrior's attitude. Now, when this spirit and this attitude gets misguided, there are always problems. But when it's guided correctly, good things happen. Though I'm directing it at the men, I also want to help you women. Let me start by asking you women this. How many of you in a relationship or in a marriage or whatever, but anyway, your man just drove you crazy? If that would you raise your hand? No, you'd have to raise both hands. You just, Judy's over here. Well, why? Why do they drive you crazy? Why does a man drive you crazy? And this is what I want to help you understand today. He drives you crazy because he's a warrior. There's a warrior inside of you, inside of him. And now, see, ladies, sometimes you have to treat your man like a son. You know, it's like you're raising a son. But God didn't give you that man for another son. You handle him. You want to handle your man. And what I want us to get across to you today is this thought. You can't be a handler. You were not created to handle him. You're created to help him. You're created to help him. You are a helper. You're a helpmeet. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it tells you that. He created the woman to be a helpmeet to the man. And if you can learn how to do this, if I can communicate this to you and help you understand your man and help you help him, then things are really going to be good for you. Your life is going to be so much better than it is today. And let me make sure I say this. Of all the people who can help your man find out who he is and his cause in life and to be successful in life, there is no one else that can do it like you, ma'am. You created for this purpose. God created Eve as the helpmeet. Nobody else could help Adam like Eve. No one else will help your man like you. And one of the lessons will be a primary emphasis on that particular thought. As difficult, ma'am, as it is for you to believe, your husband or your mate or your relationship, this man is created in the image and the likeness of God, as difficult as that is for you to believe. He is created with limitless capabilities. He is created with unlimited possibilities. Your man is given all the strengths that God could possibly give him without making him God. When you begin to look at him from that perspective, it's going to help you. You see, God made your man somewhat like you, but dynamically different from you. And he doesn't fit in your mindset. You try to make him fit. And he doesn't fit in your mindset. And the reason he doesn't fit in your mindset is because he's created a warrior. He has an attitude. A warrior's attitude. And this will never fit. It will never fit into what you want him to be. How do I know that he's created with this warrior attitude and this warrior spirit and this warrior things in him? Because God says he's a warrior. Let me read this to you. Exodus 15:3 says, The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. I want everybody in here to say that back to me. The Lord is a warrior. Say that. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is not a wimp. The Lord is not a nice guy. The Lord is a warrior and he can conquer anything. And what I want to tell you, sir, is that you are made in this image and you can conquer anything. There is nothing you can't handle. Nothing. And ma'am, if I can relay to you and help you understand that this warrior is in your man, and you help him bring this warrior out of this man and help him find his cause and help him find his purpose, if you can do this, you are going to be one happy woman. If I can do this, your children will be blessed. If you can hear this, let me tell you, you will never have to worry about anything if there's a warrior in your home. If there's a godly warrior in your home, ma'am, you'll never have to worry about anything. If we look through church today, we'd see there is a lack of godly warriors. And this isn't a new phenomenon. This is something that's gone on forever, at least 2,500 years ago, if this was going on. Let me read you this. It's in the book of Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It says, God speaking here says, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall. Now the wall represents protection. It's the barrier between the enemy and that which you want to protect. I'm looking for a man who build up the wall and stand before me in the gap. Now, the gap are the weak places in the wall, the weak places in defense. I'm looking for a man who will help me build up the wall, who will stand in the weak places of defense on behalf of the land, on behalf of the nation, on behalf of that which I want protected. And then I want you to get this now, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found how many? I found none. You know, in our David series, we saw that judgment on a nation comes through the leader. We saw that. But I want us to see that the cause of a judgment that God brings on a nation, any nation, is because there are no warrior men that are standing, building the wall, strengthening the gap. It's weak. It's weak. It's weak today. It's weak today in family. It's weak today in marriages. God's looking for somebody that'll stand up and build the protection, build the wall, fill the gap, make it strong here. In some relationships, it's weak in finances. It's weak in education. It's weak in occupation. Why? Because the man refuses to stand up and build the wall. Because the man refuses to strengthen the gap. God's looking for men of integrity. God's looking for men of dignity. God's looking for men who will be warriors, that'll fight and protect. He looked back then and he says, I found how many? None. If he looks today, does he find you? It's heartbreaking as we actually look at churches across the world. We find that there are many more women involved in the things of God than there are men. Why? Why is this? Why is this such a phenomenon? I'm going to tell you why I think. Here's my thoughts. See, I think that the church has softened manhood. Yep. I think the church has feminized manhood. We teach men like they were women. I think what the church has done has created spiritual transvestites. Is that too strong? I am looking for a shock effect here. Did I get it? Yeah. You see, we want them to be men. But we want them to act like women. And between the church and a woman, the man's mate, who wants to handle her man, we've emasculated the man. And so what women end up with, because they try to handle the man, they end up with a sometimes man, a he-she man. Now, this is what I think. And God didn't create that. He wants you to be a warrior. Ladies, you've got to decide. Hear me. You've got to decide. Do you want to try to handle your man to make him a woman? Or do you want to help your man become the warrior that God wants him to be? It kind of depends on you. Most churches teach the scriptures in a way that says that a Christ-following man is just a nice guy. Basically, a wimp. But when you look at scriptures, you know, that is not what you see. When you look at scriptures, you find that a man of God is way, way more than just a nice guy. God created men with something deep inside of us that wants to fight. And you get an attitude. And you have road rage. you get mad. And this thing comes up inside of you. And when this thing can be focused on the correct cause, great things happen. When they're focused on the negative cause, bad things happen. But a man who has focused cause can become the warrior God wanted him to be. David, just a young warrior, a young man. So this isn't just for us older guys. This is for all guys. David, just as a young man, just as a young warrior, about to go and fight Goliath, had his brothers come to him. And they came to him mocking him a little bit. You see, and this is the problem that we have in church a lot today, is emasculated men try to tell real men what to do. And they came to him, and David said this, read it to you, 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there, sir? Is there a cause for you? Is the thriving of your marriage a cause? Is the rearing of godly children who become tremendous great adults a cause? Children who will raise your grandchildren and be grandparents to your great grandchildren, is this not a cause to be a godly example for them? Is being financially independent not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is being the great leader of your home not a cause? Something amazing happens inside of a man when he finds his cause. Let me give you this. We take a boy, a young man, 17, 18, 19 years old, something like that, and we send him off to the armed services. And we don't see him for 6 weeks. And we sent this boy off. But the next time we see him, what do we find? A man. What happened? The armed services took him and gave him a cause worth dying for. He will now die for his nation, if necessary. And that's the thing that changed inside of him. He has now a cause. And the Bible talks about this cause thing in the book of Nehemiah. I want to share this with you. The people of Israel were in captivity. I told you in Ezekiel, God says, "Can I not find some men so I won't have to bring judgment on Israel?" And he couldn't find anybody, so judgment came. And they were taken away into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And then they were released. And they went back to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was in rubble. And Nehemiah had a cause. He says, "Let's rebuild the walls. Let's fill up the gaps. Let's strengthen this thing." And let me read this to you in Nehemiah 4:14. "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles the officials and the rest of the people. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. I like that. Now look, and fight. Connect God with and fight for your brothers and fight for your sons and your daughters and fight for your wives and your homes. This is a cause. And they did. They rose up. And they took a weapon, the Bible says, in one hand, and they took a tool in the other hand, and they did it. Is it not a cause? Something happens inside of a man when he realizes there's a cause for which to fight. He gets this attitude. He gets this adrenaline rush. He develops this attitude. And when he's focused on this cause, he can do anything. So ladies, help your man find his cause. Bring that warrior out of him. New movies feed on this man cause thing, you know. There are two kinds of movies. There are chick flicks and real movies. All right? I remember Russell Crowe in Gladiator. Yeah! Brothers! What we do on earth will echo in eternity! Oh, I'm worshiping God. I'm telling you. Listen, you're talking about eternity? Whoa, what I'm doing right now will echo through my children, echo through my grandchildren, echo through my great-grandchildren. But what I'm doing, whoa, I'm close to God with that kind of stuff. Stirs me up. I showed you this clip, Mel Gibson in Braveheart. William Wallace paints his face blue so that he will not be missed. Enemy knows who William Wallace is. Oh, my goodness. He's trying to get his guys to go fight. And they're outnumbered and they're outweaponed. And he says, will you fight? And they say, no, we'll run. And we'll live. And I want you to see this. And I want you to help me, guys, with this last part. But I want to read this to you, show it to you. He says this. He said, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom! Yeah! Woo! Listen, you got, if you're a guy, you're worshiping God with that kind of stuff, man. Whoa! And they fought. And they gave their war cries, and they went, and they won. Because they had a cause. They were outnumbered. They were outweaponed. But they won. And a lot of times in the fights that we fight, it looks like we can't win. But we remember our awesome God. And we remember that the cause and the warrior to fight for something makes us conquerors. A man is created to fight for a cause. That's why guy movies stir us up. Say something to you. Until a man finds the cause for which he will die, he never really lives. God's made us as fighting warriors. That's why men love goofy things like boxing, wrestling, football, kickboxing. You women don't like that stuff. We love it. We love hunting and fishing and conquering. It scratches this itch inside of us, that warrior thing. It scratches it. But the thing here is, without something to focus on the cause, we get internally bored. I want to make sure we get this. If we can't focus on the right cause, we get internally bored. And that's when bad things happen. You see, a warrior without finding the right cause to fight for will find the wrong thing to fight against and will self-destruct. A warrior not finding the right thing to fight for will find the wrong thing to fight against and he will destroy himself. A man who's misfocused, hasn't gotten his cause, will turn into rebellion. And one of the things they'll rebel against is authority. Any authority. Sons will rebel against their fathers. They're misfocused. An employee will rebel against the employer, his supervisor, his boss. And he'll self-destruct. He'll get fired. He'll lay out a job. He won't love his job. He won't like his job. He won't do a good job. And he'll self-destruct. I've seen men in a moment of internal boredom because they're misfocused throw away their marriage in a moment of internal boredom. David, just done it. David should have had it out there fighting with his army for his cause. What's he doing? Laying in his bed, bored. Gets up, walks out on his balcony, sees beautiful Bathsheba, and destroys the rest of his life. Messes up his children, brings judgment upon himself for the rest of his days. That internal boredom, had he been out there fighting for his cause, that would have never happened. Misfocused cause. Cause great problems. Without finding the right cause to fight for, a man will hurt the people he should love and the people who love him. A warrior with the wrong cause always brings destruction. We see this in the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, and he attacked the church. And later on, he became the Apostle Paul. But up until when he first started, he was Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible tells us that he was fighting for the wrong cause. He was fighting. He was misfocused. He was a Pharisee. He was trying to destroy the church. Let me read this to you in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, but Saul began to what? Began to what? Support it. Destroy. A godly person. Misfocused. Began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. See, a man always becomes destructive when fighting for the wrong cause. Listen to me. Misfocused man with the wrong cause in life will destroy his own health. Be an alcoholic, he'll be a drug addict. A misfocused man with the wrong cause will destroy his own finances. Gambling, spending money, buying things you don't need. A misfocused man with the wrong cause, internal boredom going on, will destroy his own marriage. Damage his own children. A misfocused man, wrong cause, will terminate his relationship with God. He'll destroy his occupation. He'll destroy his world. He'll destroy his life. Why? Because he's misfocused. He's fighting for the wrong cause. Now, sometimes women, I know, you know, you get kind of nervous with these kinds of things. You know, I wish you wouldn't stir him up again. He's already made a mess. Let me try to lovingly help you understand. What you've experienced at some place and some point in your life is a man's strength gone bad. A man's strength gone destructive. And so it becomes very necessary for you to help him find the right cause. And in finding the right cause, this warrior is coming forth. You can't handle it. You can't handle him without him finding the right cause. You try to make him fit in your mind, he won't fit. If you will help him tend his garden, tend his world, help him tend his life, help him get focused, listen, you're going to have a warrior, and you won't have to worry about anything. So men, young and old, what's your cause? If I ask you right now to write it down, could you? And let me tell you this, your cause will change with your age. For example, an 18-year-old's cause is not going to be the same cause that a 38-year-old has. And a 38-year-old's cause will not be the same as a 58-year-old's cause. And that's not the issue. The issue is not that it will change. The issue is, do you know your cause? Is it a cause that will make you a godly warrior, or a cause that will destroy you? What's your cause? And for example, let me try to help some of you. If you're a very young man and still in school, then your cause, what you need to do is paint your face blue, and you need to become a warrior for your education. There is nothing more important when you're a very young man than your education. Your education will cause you to excel or stop. And that becomes what you're focused on. And you have got to drive your sword in the ground and say, this is my cause. And if you're a little older man and not yet married, then your cause becomes a godly wife, a helper wife. And you need to paint your face blue, drive your sword in the ground, and that becomes your cause. Don't just wait. Don't just take the first thing. Wait for God to bring you that woman that will help you become the warrior that God's created you to be. And maybe you're older and married. Well, now your cause is different. Your cause is your marriage. And some of our marriages aren't doing real well. And it's because of you, sir. Because you have got to paint your face blue. And what you have got to do is drive your sword in the ground. And this has to become your cause. And you have got to, maybe you've got to apologize. And ask your sweetheart, your honey, your wife, to forgive you. And say, listen, I've blown it. I have not been the warrior. I have not led our family the way our family should be led. I want you to forgive me. And from this day forward, I will be the warrior God's called me to be. Maybe some of you is finances. Sir, the finances are bad in your home because of you. Don't get mad at me. You allowed it to happen because you haven't driven the sword in the ground, painted your face blue, and said, I am going to fix this. And you've got to become a warrior here. If you don't, you will be a slave to finances for the rest of your life. Some of you, as children, your children are not children of integrity. They're not looking for truth anymore. They're more interested in peer pressure and doing what their friends and buddies do. They've basically left the Word of God. Paint your face blue. Is this not a cause? Drive your sword in the ground and say, I am going to win this fight. And it becomes your cause. For some men, it's addictions. Listen, it will destroy you. It will destroy your life, your health, your occupation, your finances, everything. It has to become your cause. You paint your face blue, you drive your sword in the ground, and you say, I declare today, I am going to defeat this. What is your cause? What's your cause? What is your cause? Without one, you will fight for the wrong thing. And you will injure the people you love the most and the people who love you the most. Listen, it's not time to be a nice guy. It's time to be a warrior. So young men, ages 10 to 100, you are created to be godly warriors. You have maybe had a missed cause. You've driven people crazy. Any of us do, no matter what our age. We make it so our wife has to try to handle us because we're miscaused. We've created this negative thing that's going on in our world because we have not become a warrior. But I'm here to tell you today that God has created you to be a warrior. He's given you an attitude. You have an attitude. I've never met a man yet that didn't have an attitude. And that's coming from a warrior. When this thing is focused, listen, you become like God. You have more potential than you can possibly imagine because God's created you with all the potential you could possibly want. God has created you with all the possibilities of capabilities that you could possibly have. You are capable of doing anything. He has given you so much strength. When it's really used correctly, you can change and conquer anything. You've been made like God. Well, God's calling men today, us today, is to stand up and build the wall. He's calling us to develop the protection for that which we want to protect. Build it up. It's in rubble in some families. He's calling us today to strengthen the gap. To build up these weak areas of our lives. He's calling us to do some things that we've neglected to do. And because of that, bad things happen. He wants us to fight for. He wants us to fight for our relationships. He wants us to fight for our sons and our daughters. He wants us to fight for our wives and our homes. And so Nehemiah says, let's stand up. And so here's what I want to challenge you men with today. Whether you're married or not married, you're just a man. And I don't mean just a man. You're a man. And inside of you, you know I'm telling you the truth. And you want to be a warrior. And what I'm challenging you with today is I want you, right now, if you want to be a warrior for God, a warrior that God wants you to be, I want you to stand up right now. Right where you stand. Stand up. We're going to make a decree. We're going to decree to God. We're going to decree to our wives, our relationships, if you're married. We're going to make a decree to our children that we want to be the warrior God's called us to be. Father, thank you. A defining moment comes along occasionally in life, Lord. I pray this is a defining moment for us. I want you to say after me, men. Lord Jesus, I repent for sometimes not being the warrior I need to be. Listen, men, say this with some gusto. Say this like you mean it. Okay? Let's say it. Lord God.
Lord God.
I repent for not being the warrior you created me to be. I apologize to you. I apologize to my wife. I apologize to my children. Forgive me. From this day forward, I will be the warrior you want me to be. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Yes and amen. Now listen before you sit down. give me a war cry. You're going to battle. Listen. Let's go. Oh, oh! Yeah. All right. Be seated, guys. Yeah. Hey, do you feel it? Do you feel it? Yeah, I know you do. All right, women. You just saw your man. Make a commitment to God, to you, and to His children. And whether you're married or not, I want you included in this. If you just know, if you've been married, maybe one day we'll be married. This is women. You need to be a helper, not a handler. And I understand. Sometimes I think my wife needs to handle me. But she knows that if she can help me, it's better than handling me. And you need to help your man find his cause and help that warrior come out. So what I'm challenging you with right now is you want to decree and declare that you want to be the helpmeet, the helper that you need to be and that God has created you to be. I want you to stand up right now and you make your declaration. Come on, women. Come on. Young, old, married, not married. Oh, just a woman. All right, Father, thank you. All right, women, say this after me. Lord Jesus, I repent for trying to handle and not learning to help. I apologize to you, to my husband, to my mate, to my future mate. I'm trying to get you all in here, okay? I'm trying here, okay? My children, I apologize to them. Say that. And I declare, from this day forward, I will be the helper that I am created to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen, don't be said that. Now listen, you are warrior princesses. Okay? I want a war cry. You go into battle, people. This is war. And whenever you take these stands, now expect a fight. All right? But I want you to give me your best war cry. I believe you women can outdo us, guys, with this war cry thing. Give me one on three. One, two, three. Yeah, yeah, you did. All right, be seated. Be seated. Okay. One more thing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this moment. Father, I do pray it's defining and that it's going to change us. We're going to be the men and the women that you created us to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. But you, sir, ma'am, young man, young woman, boy or girl, listen, you know you're not where you need to be with God. You're not where you need to be. You can't be the warrior. You can't be the helper because you're too far from God. Jesus says, I come to give you that life and that more abundantly. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you know you're not there and that Jesus really can't help you become what you know you must become to have the life that you desire to have. Let's fix that. Inside of you right now, there's a drawing, there's something stirring in there. And it's telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is calling you and wanting you and wanting to help you. So if that's you, right where you're sitting, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. So if that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. See hands, three, any others, four, five. Any others?